Begin the Karan Dav, Mesech the Shabbos, Av Samaches, begin the Amen Av, begin the Tez, the Masos, it begins the words of the Gemara, to give a Shvi'ez, Nami, Bechulu, and also the same thing applies to the laws of Shemitah. So Tez comes to explain, what's this, as the Gemara is answering, that we call our Klal Golem. That's because this Tez, the Masos, going into that the Gemara said, that the approach we want to say for Klal Golem applies not just for Shabbos, also for Shemitah, because afterwards, in Mesech the Shvi'ez, brings also another Klal, and therefore it says, by the first Klal, Klal Golem, because it has certain laws that the other one, that the second one doesn't have. So it says, Taisus, what's this referring to? That we have, just like over here in the Sechta Shabbos, we have Klai Kal Gadol, where we say a later Klal that's less, so too by Shemitah. This is what we learned there, it's in the seventh parak in the Sechta Shemitah. So the Klal Gadol, Amru, they said a great rule, Koshu, Michael Adam, whatever is human food, Michael Behemo, animal food, Meminat Seven, and types of foods that are used for dyes, Bein Miskayim Ba'aretz, and it doesn't last on the ground, pirish, meaning to say, shakal l'chaya, where it's not always available in the fields, rather there's times where it is available and sometimes that it's not, and the animals can't have it. That the halacha is yeshloi shviz, has the laws of Shemitah, uludam of shviz, and it's also monetary value, if you sell it, also has the laws of Shemitah. Yeah, and yeshloi beer, has a halacha that one has to get rid of it at a certain time period, and uludam of beer, and also its monies also have the halacha that if you sold it, those monies also have to get rid of at a certain time. Now that's klal gadol. And then the other rule that was said was zigtani that was taught kol shein Michael adam or Michael behemah b'chulah, whatever is not animal food etc. umeskayim baritz, and it always is around on the earth, meaning it does not have the qualifications. Then yeshli shviz or dama shviz, so it has still the laws of shemitah and its money has the laws of shemitah, but mainly uladama beer. This halach is going to be that it and its monetary value will not have to be liquidated at a certain time because it's always available in the fields. The animals always have it. Now that's why in Shemitah, in Shviyah, so this is the term Klal Gadol, because the Klal Harishon Gadol, the first rule is greater because the Yeshlei Beer has more qualifications. It's more expansive. It has the law of beer and V'achin Ein LeBeer, but the second rule does not have the laws of liquidation. And therefore, that's why, again, it's the same idea like we have here in Masechet Shabbos. Now, but what bothers Taisus is va'avakav diktani hasam above bachrita. Although there it's mentioned in the last case over there in the Mishnah, klal gadol amr b'shviyas. It says another great rule regarding the laws of Shemitah. But like diktani basri klal acha, and it doesn't say another smaller rule after that. It doesn't say any rule after that at all. Didn't you say that we only say at least at this point with the Gemara a klal gadol is only if you have a smaller klal after that? Why is that subsequent klal called klal gadol too? So Taisus is keeping the diktani klal kadon kameh, since there's a smaller rule before it. Because we have a great rule, and we have a small rule, and we have another klal gadol. Since you have a smaller rule before it, shaych lemisnim basri klal gadol, you could say the subsequent one also to be called klal gadol because of the small one before it. So not only do you have a small one afterwards, even have a small one before it. Phoenix takes the masl, it begins the words of the Gemara, but we have by the laws of meiser, the gtani oy klal acher, where there it also has a subsequent klal, and amru v'chulu, which the Gemara had answered that, as we said before, that we say klal gadol, you have a smaller klal afterwards. Now, Taisus comes to explain that Taisus is bothered because we the Gemara said that why by Meiser, where we have another klal, and it doesn't say klal gadol, so therefore obviously this cannot be the reasoning of why we say klal gadol, but Taisus is a wonder. What do you mean? Lama, Yishan, the Barishan, klal gadol. What's the Gemara asking to say that, oh, by Meiser, by the first klal? It should have said klal gadol because there's a klal after that, but keeping it in the gadol manashani, but that first rule is actually not greater than the second one. Because they're not more halachas by the first one than the second one. Why would we call the first one klal gadol? And why is the Gemara rejecting the interpretation because of this reasoning? So it's Taisus v'Tzarchi, and one has to look into this. The Taisus does not give an answer for this question. Phoenix Taisus the Masechta says, begins the words of the Gemara. This be obvious with Toilados. Oh, okay. You know why? A different interpretation the Gemara gives. That it's because there's primary categories and secondary categories. Taisus comes to explain that when do we say it's a klal gadol because of obvious and Toilados? Because the Gemara is saying, oh, Shabbos and Shemitah have Avos and Taldos, so therefore we say Klal Gadol. Meisah doesn't have Avos and Taldos, so we don't say Klal Gadol. Now, what's bothering Taisus is Rava, but even according to Rava, he says in the beginning, they have the Shemitahs by Shemitah, Avos Asrachmana. The Torah made only primary categories prohibited to Taldos. Asrachmana, the Torah did not make secondary activities prohibited, which are not mentioned in the Torah. It's not prohibited. So how are you saying that Shabbos and Shemitah are Klal Gadol because they have Avos and Taldos, but Rava holds that actually, no, Shemitah doesn't have a Teladus. So it's Taisim, the Kamakim still, Madurabonim, Yispe, Abbas, with Teladus. But still, rabbinically, Rav would agree that there are Tehladas, and therefore it is considered in the category of having Abbas and Tehladas. But then, based on that, Tehmas says, and if you're going to say, so wait a second, but Ma'isir can name Abbas with Tehladas, Ma'isir also has primary and secondary categories, because the Ra'isa dog and Matirish B'Yitzer. Biblically, what one is obligated to give the tithes is only from grain, wine, and oil. And rabbinically, all things, which are the derivatives, the secondaries. So then, why is that any different than Shemitah? So it tells you something, what you can say is no. So the Shaykh Lahaska Abbas Vatalad is, you cannot mention something being called as primary and secondary. Bemili the lespe is malachas. If it doesn't have something that has a prohibited malacha relating to it. It's only what we mean Abbas Vatalad is, we mean regarding prohibited activities. That's where we say Klal Gadol. And that's by Shabbos and Shemitah. But by produce that's obligated biblically and rabbinically, even though technically you could call them Abbas Vatalad is, that's what Tais answering that no, since it's a malacha, we're not going to call it Klal Gadol. What bothers Tais is, if you're going to say, wait a second, but according to the answer in the Gemara that's giving right now, abuse of our oven, that we picked specifically Klal Gadol by someone else, Abbas Vatalad, then if that's the case, then even, which this made sense according to the first answer the Gemara gave, but now based on the second answer, the other rule that it says later on in the parak over here in Shabbos and over there in Shemitah, listening nami Klal Gadol b'ha'itama, that other Klal, which even though it's smaller, should also say Klal Gadol, but the same reason, because the prohibition of Shabbos and Shemitah have Abbas and Talad, so every Klal should say Klal Gadol. So it says, for some, what you can say is, no, delay tzorech l'misni, we don't have to say. Why not? Because it's relying on the first rule, which said that it's a great rule. This is what it's saying. Yes, another great rule we said. It's as if it said, we don't have to say every single one God. We said one time, because it has Abbas and Taladis, and if it includes every claw that we're saying. So, this explains, even according to Rabbah, that he holds that biblically, that Shemitah is only prohibited with Abbas, not Taladis, but he agrees that rabbinically it is prohibited. And therefore, it's considered having Abbas and Taladas. So Maisa also has Abbas and Taladas. Why doesn't it say Klal Gadol? Tesis says that no, since it's not Isra Malachis, it doesn't apply the terminology of Klal Gadol. Additionally, Tesis says that by the other Klalim in Shabbos and Shemitah, we don't say Klal Gadol, even though it's a Klal that has Taladas with it, because it's relying on the first Klal that it says Klal Gadol, which then says this whole category has Taladas, has derivatives. Trinex says the Master begins the words of the Gemara, Gadol Unsha Shal Shabbos Mishal Shemitah. So the final answer the Gemara gave was that it's greater the punishment, the extensiveness of the prohibition of Shabbos, more than that of Shemitah. Tosfos comes to explain in that Gemara regarding that we said what's more stringent on Shabbos and Shemitah is regarding detached and attached. The Gemara concludes, by Shabbos we say Klal Gadol because it's greater than that of Shemitah, because Shabbos, that applies to things that are attached or detached, whereas by Shemitah it's only things that are attached. So he says, Lepirsha, according to the Mepharsh, according to Rashi, that he explains. Now, what does it mean? Betalish, that by Shabbos, it's even when it's detached. It means, shenitlish kaidim Shabbos, that even things which were detached before Shabbos, where if, let's say, you had cut the fruits before Shabbos, you could still have prohibitions of Shabbos, like grinding and so on, and that, the Gemara is saying, but, oh, regarding Shemitah, that does not apply, because v'kaidim shviyas, but before Shemitah, there's no prohibition of Shemitah. And Mashmet sounds like Sharitz Lafarish, that he wants to explain that what does it mean, this Taylish of Mechuber? It doesn't mean that if it's still attached, there's a prohibition of Shemitah, and when it's detached, there's no Issa Shemitah. Rather, it means to say, what was detached or attached when Shemitah starts? What it means to say is that Shemitah is Mechuber Issa when we say that regarding Shemitah. It's only regarding if it's attached. What that means to say is not necessarily that it's attached right now. Hainim, but Mechuber Erev Shemitah means if it was attached in the eve of Shemitah, and v'nitlish b'shvius, and it only got detached on Shemitah, and that's also included in the prohibition of the laws of Shemitah, of that it was attached, like the laws of Shabbos. And umayri be'isra perish shvius l'achila. And therefore comes according to Rashi, what he seems to be saying is that we're talking about the prohibitions of the produce of the Shemitah year for eating purposes. That even though it's detached right now, but still, since it was attached when Shemitah started, it has the sanctity of Shemitah. And that's what we're saying, that Shabbos has one over Shemitah, that applies even if it was detached from before Shabbos. Where Shemitah was detached before Shemitah, it's not going to have that sanctity. But again, the main point is, according to Rashi, it's going on the eating of the produce, meaning regarding the edibility of the food. The problem is, of course, the reader finds this difficult. Because the Lepirusha, according to Rashi's interpretation, Loi Havale Lameimer, the Gemara didn't have to say that the intention of the Klal Gadol regarding Shabbos is to say that it's greater than Shemitah, and that Shemitah is greater than Ma'aser. Why? Could have said, El Gadol Einshel Shal Shabbos, V'Shvi'is Mishal Ma'aser. We could have said that both of them are called Klal Gadol because they're both greater than the third one, than the Ma'aser. Why? The isnu b'maychal behema, because they both apply to foods regarding animals, both Shabbos and Shemitah, have prohibitions related to animal food. Mashenkei b'maysa, which maysa does not apply to animal food. So b'lamalei l'meim b'klag godol anshur shabbos mishal shviz. Why do they have to take another step to say Shabbos greater than Shemitah? Shemitah greater than maysa. What do you mean? Could have just said, but both of them are greater than maysa, and therefore by both of them are called klag godol, because, again, according to Rashi, we're going in the food itself. So Elanir Lari, rather, Reed gives a different interpretation. Says the b'midi d'achila regarding food items. No, the loy shaychel in Shabbos. There's no prohibitions relating to Shabbos per se, because in other words, in the eating of food, there's no eating prohibitions regarding to Shabbos. So loy shaychel me'megal Shabbos. You can't say the Shabbos is greater loy mishvis v'loy me'maisa, not more than shmita and not more than maisa. Valachi le'kamegal Shabbos mishvis v'maisa. Therefore, they didn't say that Shabbos and Shemitah are greater than Maaser, where both of them apply to animal food, and Maaser does not apply to animal food, because the idea of Maaser being more lenient because it doesn't apply to animal food is not a leniency. It's in regard to eating food. And regarding eating, there's no prohibition of Shabbos at all. Now, the Kama, rather, this is what the Gemara says. And this is a different interpretation than Rashi. Godl Shabbos Meshviyas, Shabbos is greater than the laws of Shemitah. The Issa Malachas, not like Rashi, that's regarding the prohibition of the food, if it has the sanctity or not, like Shemitah. No, the prohibition of the Malacha of Shabbos, Isnu Bein Betosh Bein Mechubah. You can have a problem about Malachas, whether it's detached or attached. V'ilu Issa Malachas of Shviyas, regarding the prohibition of Malachas of Shemitah, again, not like Rashi, it says regarding the prohibition of eating it, Bein Mechubah is only if it's attached. But Tolish Lasa, if the produce is detached from the ground, there's no problem, because the whole problem about Shemitah is working the land. If it's attached, then there's no prohibition related to that. And therefore, that's what we're saying, that Shabbos is Betolish Mechubah, and Shemitah is only by that which is Mechubah, which is Tolish, not like Rashi, because Rashi was saying it's around the eating. And so it said, the Chemash of Yishami, so do something from Yishami, the Ktani, the Yishami learns, Shabbos Chal Alakol, where it takes effect on everything, where in other words, come to say that the Issa Malachas of Shabbos are even by things that are detached, whereas regarding the laws of Shemitah, it's only regarding the working of the land itself, where again, there's no Issa Malacha in the produce. Again, not like Rashi was explaining that we're talking about the sanctity of the fruits that are only when they were detached from before Shemitah. No, it's talking about regarding the actual working of the land itself. The next text, the master begins the words of the Gemara. Well, the Bar Kapar, the Tony Klagol by Ma'aser b'Chulu, regarding Bar Kapar, that he does say Klagol by Ma'aser. Just to explain, why do they disagree? In other words, the Gemara brought, and what's with Bar Kapar that says Klagol? So the Gemara explains, yes, because it also has something over something else, because Ma'aser applies to by Tein and Yarek, and Peya doesn't. So what's bothering Tais is this. So then, why do they disagree? And they don't say in their Mishnayos, the halacha of the term klagol b'maisa. So it says Tais nirul Rashbos. It appears to the Rashbo da'cheirim leishon klagol b'maisa. The other opinions, they don't say klagol by the klal meiser afishein a gadol mepei elam d'rabban. Because really, it's only greater than pei rabbinically. Because the whole halacha being chayiv and meiser and tein and yarek is only rabbinically. Biblically, it's only by dag and tarshav yitzah. And therefore, they didn't say and call it klagol. Av klagol the Shabbos. In contrast to klagol the Shabbos, gadol mishvis. But their meiser is greater than that. Biblically, because those are regarding the biblical malachas, so too the greater expansion of the Issa of Shemitah over that of Maaser is also biblically, and therefore that's why by them they said klal gadol, but whereas by that of Maaser they did not hold like back apart to call klal gadol, even though it has something over peya, because it's only rabbinically. The next place the Maaser begins words of the Gemara v'ilu peya, but where regards to peya, lesa b'tein v'yarek, it does not apply by figs and vegetables. So he's going to explain, that's not specifically really to Eino that there's no Chiva Peya. And that is, as we said, the Bakapar was saying that called Gola by Maisa, because it has over Peya that applies to Teina Yerik in contrast to Peya, which excludes, amongst other things, Teina and Yerik. So Teis says, Labdavka Teina. It's not specifically that only figs that does not apply by the laws of Peya, because the Ravi law in this Eilin Kutas and Ka'achas. Where do we know that we exclude Teina? From the fact that it has to be something that's gathered as one, as the Gemara explains that halacha. And actually, most trees are not gathered at one time. Because actually, in Rak Chassi Lam, there's actually only 8 trees. The Chashav Perakam and the Peya, that is counted in the first Perak and Peya, the Chayav Peya, is liable in Peya. So then, if it's the majority of trees, so why are we picking specifically figs? And the Nokatena rather says, tell you, so we picked the figs, Bisham Niliketas Kamapam, because it's the type of fruit actually picked many times. So it's the epitome of of the non likutasin ka'echad. Can I mean because the bottom, like the Gemara says about basach of chasm base. If a person ate three fruits in the same day regarding hachazakah that it's his property consuming the produce three times in one day, where do you have a one day three different times? Oh, going to bechulu, like it says like regarding fig, because that's something that really the harvest is at totally many different times. And if we just pick it as the prototype, but really it's most trees that actually exclude us from the law of peah. Now, Brain Tom even says more than this. He says the raisa l'machayv bepeah. Actually, biblically, there's no obligation of peah, leaving over the corn of the field for the poor. It's actually only by grain, wine, and oil. The stam katzer that says we got to be peah, because this that it says regarding katzer, that it says, so that's about regarding katzer. That actually is hudagan. That actually refers to grain. And so, therefore, that would tell us the harvest of grain. Now, there's also a pasuk that says that when you're going to go ahead and harvest your olives, also like the far charecha, leave it for the poor, and also kisibtzer karmacha, when you're going to go ahead and harvest your vineyard, also leisola charecha. So those are the only three that are biblically obligated, and the rest are rabbinically. But again, only if it's like a tassin karecha. Now says the Torah, I have a hard dash b'teres kenim. This is the Torah's kenim that says yochel shani mar. But you were saying that would include kishurin v'diluin shal yu chayom bepeya at gourds and cucumbers, that they would be included in the obligation of leaving over the corner of the field for the poor. Oh, says the price of Talmud Lema, that's what we learn, uvukutzchem es kitzeratzchem, when you're harvesting the harvest of your land. Which tells you, no, makotzer to oichel benishma, just like the harvest is something that's a food item that's edible, and it's also something that's protected, etc. Oh, but kishum and dilum, that are not in protected, so therefore it's patzim and peya. But it sounds like only they're exempted from the pasuk, but all the things which are oichel benishma would actually be obligated. And so you see, not like Rabbeinu Tam, who he says that actually, because we're talking about a pasuk over here, and all those other things in the Mishnah that we said at least eight things are according to Benjamin only rabbinically, and here we see that no, we see biblically only cucumbers, and those are being exempt. So that's his Taisa that actually asmachti. It's not difficult because actually it's just an allusion from the pasuk, and Taisa proves this because the Hasam Nami Dorish Maisa Yerik Makra. There the Brisa expounds the obligation of tithing vegetables from a pasuk avagad damid rabban, although we know that it's rabbinic. So again, it's just because the pasuk is just what's known as a smach, an allusion, but really it's rabbinic law, and therefore does not contradict Rabbeinu Tam. But then what Bava says is mashalei tiknu peya biyarek b'tein b'dami law. So why didn't we institute that the law of peya should have rabbinically not just those eight types, the katasa ke'echad and so on? Why didn't include also vegetables and figs and stuff like that? K'mesha tiknu ma'isa man, just like ma'isa, which we're saying is greater than peya, it's actually only rabbinically. So why didn't we say the same rabbinic obligation for peya? So Rabbeinu Tam says no, because actually Mishum de'ein l'ketasin ke'echad. That's exactly the reason. Since they're not gathered at the same time, so dava mu'ud who pay the day. So it's very little every time they're coming to get the payah of whatever these, let's say the figs, to gather them, because every time you come, what he's leaving over is not so much. So actually, v'yesh hefsid la'aniyim bo yisim l'revach. There's going to be more loss for the pauper than the gain. Shemes balam, because they're just sitting around. If you shein yudin zman l'ketasin, they don't know the time to get it because it's always done so many times. And actually, that's why they didn't institute it, because it's going to be more loss than a gain. So to be davashay machnis lakim, the other criterion, something that's not put away to last, not melechash, also not considered significant. If they have seed yisim asher yavich b'makamach, they're going to lose more than what they'll gain by trying to get other matnas aniyim elsewhere, and therefore that was not instituted to be in the matnas aniyim of peah. So Tosfos told us that again, it's not specifically figs that are not an obligation of peah. It's rather actually in the majority of trees, besides the eight that I mentioned, the Mishnah says peah. We only pick the figs because it's the epitome of what's gathered many times in contrast to just one time a year. This Rabbeinu Tam says that actually the biblical obligation of peah is only by dog and teresh v'yitza, like by meiser. This that we're excluding kishum and delum from a pasuk that's not obligated, which sounds like everything else that is al-eichel b'nishma is obligated, that again, Tosfos says only a smach ba'am. And so why didn't they institute peah by all the other trees, even though it's not gathered as one time, just like by Maisa we do? It's because when they're not gathered as one time, it's because you don't know exactly when they're going to gather, and they're going to lose more by getting elsewhere. And so too, if those that are not protected, again, are also a loss, and therefore they did not institute the laws of peah, where the poor have to come. Maisa, will you give it? Yeah, of course, we could obligate that and count just the peah. Tanik says the Matzah test begins with the words of Gemara, Sefichi Satis V'kutza, the aftergrowth of the woad and the matter plants, which Tosfos comes to explain the reason why we pick specifically the Sfichei Satis V'kutza, and we didn't just say in general things which are not edible. because the Gemara brought the Mishnah Maseches Tzitzis Peah that only an edible thing is obligated in Peah. That the Gemara explained, it's coming to exclude Sfichei Tzitzis V'Kutzah, which not edible, they're used for dyeing. But Bala Tzitzis is, Behodah L'Kamastam, so why don't you just say in general? L'mu'utim Midzid L'Avaychah, it's coming to exclude things which are not eaten. Elonok and Hani, and we only pick these. So on that says, I'm reading the research from the Tzitzim Rum L'Achila, because the truth is, these plants are a little bit edible. Kamashmon, that's what we're coming to say. That's halacha, even so, ain't paying the hegespin. Still, the halacha pay is not going to apply to them. So that's the chiddush in that. Yeah, it's not edible. Now we know. This has some element of chiddush. And Mechematzer Rashbam, Mitzvahs Rashi, said to Rashbam, found this interpretation in the response of Rashi. Now, but what Tabada says is, so why did he pick specifically the aftergrowth? The reason is, says Tesis, Rashi gave his interpretation. Tesis says, maybe you could say it's because actually maybe the woad and the matter plant itself, and not the aftergrowth, ainim rum klalachilas adam. Maybe they're actually not edible, but they have a chiddush, and they wouldn't have been a chiddush. Only the aftergrowth is somewhat edible, like we said, and therefore that's the chiddush. Oishem, or actually, Tais says, actually, maybe the chiddush could be the other way around. Hein, archel gamer. No, the woad and matter plant itself are actually totally edible. And actually, b'loim and matin, actually, we would not exclude it. It's only the aftergrowth that was saying that it's not really edible, and therefore that's what's excluded from the obligation to pay it, because it's not considered as oichel. So next says the master begins the words of the Gemara, Gershon the Sky Ben Anachem, regarding a convert who converted amongst the non-Jews, which basically qualify this case. So Gemara said, Rav Shmuel both say that the Mishnah is talking about even the Tinik Shanishba or Gershon the Sky Ben Anachem, and he never knew about the Halacha of Shabbos at all. So Tais says, this that he converted amongst the Gentiles, so he never knew about Shabbos, says Tais, but Bifnei Gimel, you have to say it was in front of three Jewish men. And it's just that, but Lehidiyu Mitzvah Shabbos, just that they just didn't tell him the mitzvah Shabbos, he never knew about it at all in his life. Because the Tais explains, the Inis Gar Ben Elam Ben Asma, if it was told him that, as it sounds like that he just converted by himself amongst the Gentiles, lo have a Ger, he actually would not even be considered as a Ger in the first place to be liable, because I mean, Machiz, the Gemara says, Yimamas of Mzayim Abeis, that a Ger has to convert in front of three Jewish men to be considered as a convert, and therefore must be talking about that although he did Ben Anachim, he was in front of three Jewish men.